summer. Wait, we need to finish school shopping.
We've got this. Target has $5 lunch boxes.
And now new lower prices on the kids' favorite good and gather snacks.
And we're done.
Now, where were we?
When it comes to finishing your supply list, Target has your back to school.
You're listening to The Kylo Show, a podcast about how to keep your love on no matter what and why whole, healthy families are going to save the world. In the first episode, we talked about how being made in the image of God means being made in the image of family. You weren't hatched out one day and you weren't made in a factory. It means that your identity is relational. And that's a heavy revelation right there. But don't worry, Danny and Brittany are going to unpack that here in episode 7. So get ready, here we go. Episode 7 starts now.
Well, hello and welcome to The Kylo Show. This is a podcast where we're talking about how whole, healthy families are going to save the world.
Come on, keep your love on.
That's it, that's it. And today's episode, we're talking about identity.
Yeah.
We've been going deep for the last couple weeks here.
We have. We are laying a foundation.
We are
trying to, you know, get something ready to build something huge.
Something massive.
Yeah, we're going to help a lot
whole
of
families,
folks.
Whole families, maybe. That's it.
Yeah, whole families that save the world. But I think probably this segment is about identity. And I think when we talk about a whole family or human beings, when we have to identify mm-hmm. who this is. Like a whole family. Well, that's a lot of little pieces. It is, but human beings are actually designed to play a part in the whole. They're not designed to be separated out and orphaned, which is what's been pounding our society for a while now, is this delusion and I like Allie's word, atomizing.
Atomizing.
Like made into little atoms so that we didn't just hatch out of the ground or get made in a factory. Mm-hmm. But we're actually these integral pieces that fit together beautifully to make something whole. And whole would include a family, mm-hmm. a society. And as believers, we are part of the body of Christ. So it's parts that fit within parts, which fit within parts, which make up a whole, and we have to identify ourselves in that. So I think that again and again we look for words to identify what this part is, and I think the Apostle Paul calls it members. You know, you are members of a body. And so we end up with these assignments.
It's funny because family members.
A family member.
You know.
Yes. We commonly confuse membership with going to the gym
or a subscription to something.
or your credit card membership. Uh-huh, you know, uh-huh. You get little bonus points for doing this, that, and the other thing. Or, you know, you join our membership subscription to mm-hmm. this, that, and the other thing. It's all kind of been turned into...
It kind of feels like it's been diluted to the value of it.
Yeah, because it literally means organs, like organs of a body, like a heart,
the
liver.
Which sounds a little bit bigger than a magazine subscription.
Yeah. It sounds a little less significant mm-hmm. when you break it down to, oh yeah, I pay this and I get a... No. You're a heart. Like you can't do without you. Okay, we can't do without you. You are a vital piece of the functioning of this body. So when, you know, Paul's using the word that, you know, you are individually members of it. You know, you're a body, and each one of you are a functioning contributor to this whole system.
Yeah, I think your point in the beginning of just kind of that breakdown of our identity and then kind of the being orphans mm-hmm. by not knowing your identity and not knowing, I think even kind of highlighting, like you're saying right now, the member word, that it's meant to be something of depth and ownership and intentionality and purpose and identity, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. but there's so much of an orphan around this idea of, you know, how members are and who the member is and how they fit and how there's wholeness in this concept of family.
And we're going to keep coming back to this wholeness idea because that's what's being attacked.
Yeah.
The wholeness, the unit, the aspect that, you know, like a family is, you know, is comprised of all these different pieces, starting with the smallest child or mm-hmm. the cat, maybe, you know, we have a new cat, Ellie.
Yep.
And so everybody's trying to get used to Ellie and she's like just a trip. She's like,
she's so much different than the dog.
She's
even.
So such a cat.
Yeah.
You know, she's kind of like, don't touch me. Don't touch me. Okay. Touch me now. Okay. Stop touching me. You know, you're like, good grief. Who is this? Where we have a golden retriever. And so Reagan is like, never stop touching me.
Yeah.
And
I will do anything always for you.
Yes, and I only want to be your friend.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And I don't want to cause any trouble.
I will never be harsh to
why,
you.
Why did you get a cat? Yeah, like, yeah, we're all wondering the same thing. And then the youngest child, you know, Lincoln is he plays this role. He's the only boy.
Mm-hmm.
He's the youngest. He just went away to go hang out with Christian's kids, but he was the oldest there.
Yes, I think he enjoyed that.
And he totally did. He kind of puffs up when he says it. I'm like, look what happened to you in the exchange of your function and role mm-hmm. in a interaction with other people. It was kind of cool.
I asked him, I said, did you feel like the boys wanted to be around you because you were like the big kid? And he's like, kind of. I said, did you sit in the middle often? He goes, yes. And I was like, yeah, which is great. I think it's just part of the, you know, I think he got more ownership over, you know, being a good example or all the things that he doesn't get to play in that role in our family very much.
So the children, mm-hmm. even the children have roles that they play. And then, but that function of being a child is completely different than the parents.
Yes.
And then the parents have this whole role. And then the father and the mother, mm-hmm. they have totally different functions and contributions to what we're doing. And then you have, and in our place, you have the grandparents.
Yes.
Mimi and Papa.
Which you were handing out chocolate last night, I heard in your
office. I did. Yep.
We were after bedtime.
We were kind of just, it was there.
Yeah.
I had mm-hmm. one chocolate bar left. I'm mm-hmm. like, I look at it every time I go in my closet. I'm like, I'm bringing it out.
Yeah. And who was the one that got it? It was mostly the youngest child.
Well, the one who found it.
Yeah.
The one who I set it on the counter.
I'm just going back to those roles.
And there was one that goes,
yeah.
Look what I found on the counter. I'm like, oh my gosh, what should we do? I don't know. I said, well, I think we should eat it. He goes, yeah.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
So probably. He opened it and we did what we could. So even the grandparents, you know, mm-hmm. each of these roles comprise this whole unit, and it's designed that way. When it breaks down, when there's a divorce, I think this is why God hates divorce.
Yeah,
is because it traumatizes mm-hmm. the whole.
Yeah,
and there is a disorder that's brought. There is a dysfunction that is introduced to the family, and we are literally injuring this system. When there is even a death, you know, if somebody dies in this hole, I remember when Grandma mm-hmm. Norma died.
Yeah,
you know, she was 69, your mom's mother, and it injured us, you know, because she was such a contributor. She was such a participant in this system, and her and Poppy's roles were so totally different.
Yes.
And the strength and energy that you feel from either of them, but hers was just supreme.
Mm-hmm.
And what is it, 20 years later?
Yeah, I think we're past 20 years.
20 years later, your mom still says, I think about my mom every day.
Right.
You're like, woof.
Yeah.
Do
you think that kind of shifted even mom's role as well? Like losing the grandparent, which would be her parent.
Mm-hmm.
Like how does that role, you know, because she wasn't a grandma yet. Mm-hmm. So I think the illustration of being a grandma or gleaning from that was all that she watched from us. So even like that process of influencer.
Well, I think it shifted her role even as a mother,
mm-hmm.
you know, as a parent, because that infusion of resource just went away. Yeah. So the whole family piece is flowing from the smallest to the oldest. You know, we are sending support and life and identity to the whole. I mean, because when I think about my role as a grandfather, mm-hmm. I think about, well, how do I help the other roles? What can I do to help maximize the whole? And I have a little hourglass. I see the sands going, the sands passing through the little thing there, and I'm like, I got, like, I'm on a clock here. What am I gonna do?
You're so dramatic.
Well, it's true. I mean, I'm on the clock. I know I'm on a clock. If something happened to anybody else, it'd be shocking. But I know, like, tick tock. So every family member is participating and contributing the way they identify within the whole. And protecting that is how we really bring out the best in human beings and allowing them to flow through that. I think your mom has the greatest example of how to be a superstar Mimi because of the way her mom played that role and set a standard, set a template. So when your mom steps into it, she's like, well, I know where the bar is.
I know what I'm aiming for. Yeah. And I think, that's, again, going back to your divorce comment, is when that breakdown happens, we don't see the wholeness of how family's meant to operate mm-hmm. because it's been, it's been sabotaged in a way. And so the idea of how am I supposed to interact with, the parents who are watching their parents, interact in a marriage, that goes away, that changes. Then you introduce a new person that is now the new father or mother figure. I mean, that dynamic changes things because they're not the father, but they're being asked to have the place of a father. Mm-hmm. So then I'm sure that there's conflict even within there of how do I look to that? And someone that's doing it the best they know how do I do that with honor and respect, but not take away from my actual father's over here, not living with us anymore. And I'm supposed to look at this as marriage. And, and I think even, I remember mom telling a story about Uncle Ted when his parents got divorced. Yeah. And she says, I feel like I watched my brother become an orphan because he couldn't figure out who, like there was a place where he had to either choose grandma or grandpa and his parents, like mm-hmm. he had to choose what parent he would be loyal to. Mm-hmm. And because of his sweet wired nature, he just didn't know, he couldn't break anyone's heart, it feels mm-hmm. like. So he decided to be an orphan, and instead of being the role that he's meant to play, he shifted it mm-hmm. and did life alone, which is, he's had a really rough life. He's doing better now than ever, but still, like, that thing of divorce caused kind of a wobble to who
the
he's
injury
meant to be.
To the family. Yeah, I think that all the way back in the garden scene, you have Adam and Eve, and they divorced God.
Yeah,
they shifted governments, they shifted leaders, and as a result, sin comes crushing into this goodness. Like, all that Adam and Eve ever knew was the goodness of God, and now there is this massive injury mm-hmm. to who mankind's going to be, and then Cain and Abel show up, mm-hmm. and it is, it's brutal that they have, a murder, mm-hmm. and the curses
jealousy,
come, and
all that.
And the curses even show up different. Like, the curse for Adam is in what he does,
yeah,
and the curse for Eve is more in how she is mm-hmm. as a woman, and it's like they're you're identifying these very different roles and functions in a family. So obviously, Jesus comes to fix all this mm-hmm. and say, hey, let's be reconciled to the Father. Come back. Let's be a family again. And let's find a way to heal this injury that has caused so much devastation.
We'll get back with Danny and Brittany here in a second, but I have a quick public service announcement that I wanted to share. The Kylo Show is changing, but don't worry, Danny and Brittany are still gonna be here and the content's gonna be awesome, but they've been laying down a groundwork for why whole healthy families are gonna save the world. And in this next version of the show, we're actually gonna take call-ins, meaning we're gonna answer listener questions and hear listener testimonies because we wanna give you practical application of the Kylo principles and how to create a whole healthy family. So if you wanna be one of the first people to submit your question or testimony to The Kylo Show, visit thekyloshow.com and record your submission now.
I think as an American society, you know, we are equally trying to figure out like, how do we do this? We live in a country that is beating the drum of individual freedom and self-government. Mm-hmm. Like these things go together. We are, as I travel around the world, I run into, you know, other cultures, other people, and they go, you know, Americans just make such a big deal out of freedom. Like, it's so true.
We really do. We are.
At the same time, there has to be this idea that I'm going to manage myself mm-hmm. towards the benefit of other people, not just the benefit of myself. So it's not like selfish freedom. It's more of a contribution so that we can all be free. So we'll the golden rule, you know, I'll do unto others as I would have them do to me, is a kind of the standard of what it means to be free and self-governed.
Which I think is funny, is your idea of like Americans and what we've got going on, and we love freedom, but it is a very selfish freedom right now.
It's out of control.
It is a loud, selfish freedom. You know, I had a conversation with somebody the other day about different, you know, people who intentionally decide to only have one child, you know, or people that get married and don't have any children. And, you know, obviously you get to do whatever you want. It's just an interesting take, given that, you know, the Lord says, go forth and multiply, like mm-hmm. make family. Mm-hmm. And when we don't, there's a question that I have is this an element of this selfish freedom? Because if I don't introduce, you know, obviously there's lots of situations that are going on, but like this place of choosing not to create a family and a union of marriage, like, is this part of where the family gets broken down?
Mm-hmm. You're pushing buttons right now.
I know I am. Know? I just was just curious because that's
something
I was thinking
about. It's pretty spectacular, though, to cease to contribute,
yeah,
because it requires sacrifice,
which is what I guess I'm trying to get at.
Yeah.
Is that part is hard for me.
Like, I don't want to give up my freedom that yeah. I have to sleep in and, you know, do whatever I want, go whenever I want, and do it, because that's the first thing that goes when you have children is your
well,
sleep.
Even getting married, I think that you are introduced to a new level of. It's not about you anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, that's just this.
So freedom has led to, I don't think I want to get married. Mm-hmm. I don't think I want to be a husband.
Yeah.
I think I'll just live with her. Mm-hmm. I'll just eat of the fruit.
I'll get all the benefits.
I'll kind of build insecurity into this because she knows I could leave any day.
Yeah.
And she doesn't want me to. Because what she wants me to do is make a commitment to her for life. But I'm not sure I want to add that. So I'll just drain this thing until I get a better offer or until it's just not any fun anymore.
Well, and this is where they usually go, you know, we'll get married someday. I mean, or they say engaged forever.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like that's the thing that I've seen is that to appease that threat, I'm just going to propose to you and we'll stay engaged for an eternity.
Mm.
But that's my level of commitment I'm willing to make.
Yeah, that's another way of saying living together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is a bummer.
Yeah, and women don't want to be women in that they don't want to be mothers. They don't want to be wives. They're scared of these scary men, as they should be. And they're mm-hmm. like, whoa, you know, here's how I'm going to set this up. I got my checkbook. You got yours. You yeah. stay over there. Sex on Wednesday. And if we, you know, if we're getting along on Saturday, okay. No children, because I don't want to be left with a child because you decided to move on. And so we throw this in a blender, and then we teach children in that.
Yeah.
How to become even more scared yeah. and selfish in the next generation. And then we do it again. And here we are, like, you know, about four mixes in, and it's super confusing. And now we have all kinds of obsession with hyper individualism.
Yeah. Like and even roles even yeah. in that, like in what we're supposed to, what your role is supposed to be and its definition and what it means. And it's not even what it is as much as it is your limitations. Mm-hmm. Like that seems to be the focus on the having an identity of a role is not who you are and what you're created to be. It's who you're not and what you can't do. It's like this hyper anxiety around this. So there has to be this, everybody's the same, but we're all different.
Yeah. You're unique just like everyone else.
Yeah.
And we break it down into, I want to be so non-identifiable.
Right.
That you can't expect anything from me because I have no role anymore. I have no function because mm-hmm. I have no identity. And that's the breakdown. That's atomizing our society into people that don't even believe they belong anywhere. Mm-hmm. And it's become a goal. My goal is that I don't have to do anything. I can just only do what I want to do. And then if you say, hey, that's a disorder, mm-hmm. that's a dysfunction.
Yes.
How dare you try to tell someone that there is a function and there is a form and there is an order. How dare you, you oppressor. Let me oppress you to death because of your oppression of me.
Oh, my goodness.
Like, okay, this is very confusing.
Exactly. And I think that's the part where I've seen where we are right now is everyone's so unique, but we're all different, but we're all the same. But don't you dare say that. But don't you, but I'm not, you can't do that. You can't do this. You have to do this. Don't do that. Mm-hmm. Don't tell me what to do. I mean, it's just, I don't know even where to start. Like mm-hmm. that's the part where I think it's gotten to this big, it's like we started painting and then all the colors have just muddled together. Now it's just a mucky color instead of this.
It's not a rainbow.
It is not.
You know, it's not a collage of beauty. It is gray.
It is so, it's an ugly gray too. It's just it's not even one I put on my wall. It's like a pretty option.
It's unidentifiable and it's so hard to separate that out. Mm-hmm. And so we end up with a situation where we are lost. You know, so many young people, you know, they go to university, they get trained in essentially groupthink. Like you think like the rest of the group or you'll be punished until you conform. And we will identify you. We mm-hmm. will identify you as separate, as you won't be one of us. Mm-hmm. Who are us? We don't even know who we are, but you're not one of us. So, and people are so scared to not be one of whatever and to be identified as an individual separated out here. Because if you're not in the gray paint,
right.
You're not in. You're out.
And which is funny that gray paint is somehow a form of individual
validation.
Yeah. But
it's like confusing. It's not, the whole thing is just so weird. It's just so weird and confusing.
Saying, I'm sorry, guys. Yeah. We live in a crazy little world right now.
Yeah. And so our education system, our media, our politicians are just beating the gray paint drum. Mm-hmm. Come jump in the gray paint and disappear. Yeah. And then we, the powerful, we will make the rules, we'll set the temperature of the room, we'll tell you where you can and can't be applied. And it's a separation of really in society there's a few parents mm-hmm. and there's this global orphanage of gray paint.
Yeah.
And this is the scary thing. The scary thing is that the parents are getting fewer and more powerful. Mm. Corporations are getting bigger. Governments are getting bigger. The rule makers are getting more defined, and the gray paint is getting more and more scared.
Yeah, which I mean, raising children right now in the gray paint land is, it's been an interesting swirl, because we've done public school and we're doing homeschool right now because of kind of the world. It's been a little crazy. And I think my kids have always gone to good schools, and but it's just interesting to look at kind of the practices that we just have that are this kind of the gray paint of things. And I'm Delaney's, you know, she's getting towards college age, like thinking about her career, what she wants to do with her life and different things. And, you know, I feel like the first time more than ever, I'm like, wow, I don't know that college is going to be the best option for you. Totally. To stay with the knowing who you are and the Lord, knowing how to have value, knowing how to protect what we have cultivated and what you say you have value for and you've been protecting, which is so fun to watch, you know, but to push her towards something that is, you know, going to do everything it can to make that disappear is scary.
Yeah.
You know, and I think when Ben was at school, he went back to school and got his degree. He said, you know, I know who I am in the Lord. I know who I am in my role in my family, as a husband, as a father, as a brother, all those things. But his fight that he had on campus, he said, there were moments where I know the truth, but it is like it is being warred against something really loud. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, you can't say that word like that anymore because that's unacceptable.
Mm-hmm.
You can't...
Microaggression.
And I just remember listening to him and his, you know, at times he would be emotional over like just the pain of how everything's been minimized to the gray paint, we mm-hmm. keep calling it. But, and him thinking about our children going to pursue a career that would require, you know, mm-hmm. and it's just a swirl that's how far our identity has come, is it's been stripped from understanding the value of being a member and what that looks like.
Yeah, and it's the eradication of the Father, of being a part of the kingdom, mm-hmm. the king's domain, and we think that we're going to somehow set up shop without him. And that's, you know, we'll get into that in our next segment where we talk about mission, but it's so confusing to hear people talk about making everything equal. Mm-hmm. Like everybody's going to be equal. No, they're not. Everybody in the gray paint is going to be reduced, but there will be a group of people that are in no way equal to the gray paint, and they know how to stay out of it. And that will be the fight, will be to separate out. And you end up with two extreme classes of people, mm-hmm. extreme poverty and extreme elite rulership. That's the scary part. That's not the kingdom. That's yeah. not a family. That's a slave camp. That's how slave camps work.
Which it feels like, you know, I mean, going back to the organs, if you were to, you know, poverty and the rulers, it's like the heart and then... a hand, you know, like that wouldn't work as a body.
Well,
we're missing everything in between that makes it up.
You can't even, the whole body is in existence for the health and well-being of the whole body.
Yes.
You know, there is no separation out of those who have and those who do not have. Like if you don't have blood, that's a problem for your little cell, whoever yeah. you are. You yeah. know, if you don't have nutrients, if you don't have oxygen, if you don't have the composition that goes through the whole thing is set up to distribute it. And that's the idea. The idea is we're going to set this up. Mm-hmm. We're going to make a body without the Lord.
Yeah.
No, actually, you're not. You're not. You're going to create some kind of crazy
distortion.
Frankenstein.
Yeah. Mess.
Android. Just robotic. Mess. You know. Yuck. Mm-hmm. And that's the best you can do. That, but that, there you go. You did, that's, and that's the trek that we're on. Is we're probably closer than ever to creating something that looks human-like, and I think it includes even injecting human beings with a software that interacts with Wi-Fi. You know, I mean, it's just this crazy. There's just all these technologies.
Tesla and this is, that's what's happening.
It's just getting
a
wild.
Flying car and robotics. What is it? I don't remember them. iRobot or something. There's different movies that came out.
Yeah.
The timestamp, if it was 2025.
They're all like pointing to something that is kind of giving it away.
Well, Tesla will just say it was the first step to a flying car. We did. I mean, I don't know how close we are to that, but it does feel like there's more things advancing than ever before. But I did a science thing with the kids. And they said, you know, like, what do you think is going to happen in the future? And all their examples, because the book's older, is that there's going to be a video phone, which we were laughing at their examples. Mm-hmm. They were a little dated. But Lincoln's was that you're going to be able to have a car that makes your food while you drive.
So, nice, so you don't have to go to the drive-thru.
Yeah, boom. Exactly. So
that's it. Bye-bye, Chick-fil-A. They'll morph. They'll turn into
something. Hopefully it's McDonald's. I'd rather it be McDonald's than Chick-fil-A. It goes away. But yeah. Anyways. Yeah, well, that's a crazy world. So basically, we need God back again. This is what I'm hearing.
We do. We need hope.
Yeah.
All right. I have another public service announcement, and you're going to love this one, too. It's a new Life Academy course, Foundations of Honor. It's a comprehensive study of the values, practices, and effects of building and protecting a culture of honor. Danny Silk sits down with his friends and high-level leaders as they break down how to build a culture of honor in your family, church, organization, and community. If you want to learn more about Foundations of Honor Life Academy course, visit lovingonpurpose.com and click courses.
So we need some hope for the future, I think, is basically what I'm hearing.
Yes.
Is, you know, we've made a mess of things. We're still in the mess of things, but if we have this podcast for a reason, it feels like we're trying to help people.
Yep.
And so I feel like we need to give, how do we do this? How do we move towards, you know, what are some action steps for every single family here that is wanting to do this well, wanting to change the gray paint. They want to be this beautiful, beautiful display of who God is and who God's created each one of them to be and raise that and empower that. So it's like restoring the definition of freedom and identity is really what we need to move towards.
Yeah, well, we need repentance. You know, basically, we need a great awakening, don't we?
Yeah.
We need people to see that you cannot function, you know, in a way that is trying to create heaven on earth without the King,
yeah,
without our Father. You know, we've got to repent and get out of this idea that we dude it ourselves. I mean, when you were little, you were learning to talk, and you know, I said, "Hey, Brittany, let me help you." You go, "I do it myself." I'm like, yeah. "You can't even find food. Okay, you can't do much for yourself." But you were so on a independence quest, you know, mm-hmm. as a toddler, that you very much wanted to, you know, you wanted autonomy. You wanted to be able to show me that you could do it. And okay. That's great, but you can't leave the family.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can't just walk out the door with your little pink My Little Pony bucket full of toys and just leave. You know, you're going to die.
Yes.
And so, and we're in that situation where we have a successful influence in our society that says, you know what, we can do this without God.
Mm-hmm.
And it's tragic. It's absolutely, it's how the brokenness got in. So as we repent, we turn to the Father. We see who he is. Finally, we can see through Christ, we can see who the Father is. After all this time, we've not been able to see that we have this loving, gracious, merciful Father who's chasing us down to rescue us from Lucifer, you know, who has deceived mankind, has totally deceived us, and has lured us into this idea that we can do all this without God.
Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, for me and Ben, part of this, I guess, you know, we're warring in this culture that we see that's against it. And one of the most practical ways I feel like we're trying to keep God present in our home is, you know, I worked in children's ministry before for years, and Ben was in youth group for years. And there's, in the church, from my experience, there's this permission that the church is just supposed to teach your kids how to know God. And, you know, the season that we've been in the last year, the church isn't really very available.
No.
And so there's more and more opportunity for breakdown here, and which just makes me angry. But I feel like there's been this absence of us having ownership as a family to really kind of light up a path for our children of like, this is who the Father is. This is who he is. This is his goodness. This is his kindness. Know him for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's some insecurity, you know, if this is not your normal, if the church has been your normal. Part of my encouragement to you and what Ben and I have done is just kind of being willing to take the risk of it not being perfect. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, people say, okay, we're going to have family intimate, you know, worship nights with your 4-year-old and your 8-year-old, and it never goes to plan. But there is this place of intimidation, of not even wanting to try because it's not going to look like Sunday school or it's not going to look like church service. But for us, it's just been, you know, put on some worship music. None of us are worship leaders, so don't worry about that. Just turn it up really loud. Mm-hmm. That's what I would suggest. And we just invite our children to, like, Lincoln plays with Legos. Addie will be painting. Lainey's just, you know, she's usually there. She's probably closing her eyes. She's not, maybe in her journal, but it's this not limiting God to showing up in your family, especially if you kind of create opportunity for him to come in mm-hmm. and be there. And I think that that's just part of what I'm hearing is we're going to lose this opportunity to shape their identity and knowing who the Father is if we don't get over our own insecurities yeah. as a family.
Yeah. Yep. And it's working. You know, we are at home church mm-hmm. recently, and during worship, I looked over, I saw Addie. Addie's 11, and she's got her eyes closed. She's singing every word. You know, yeah. You can see her worshiping
yeah.
in her 11-year-old self. You're like, oh, girl, you go. This is it, practicing mm-hmm. his presence, practicing pursuing him. Worship. Meaning that we turn our heart's affection towards the Lord and sit in his presence and listen, mm-hmm. just listen
yeah.
for instruction, listen for affirmation, listen for identity, listen for culture. Like, what is it that I'm going to take away from this experience that becomes so much a part of who I am that wherever I go, I deposit it?
Yeah,
like that's the reward of worship is I get in his presence and I become like him, mm-hmm. and as a result, I am an ambassador.
Mm-hmm.
Our children are ambassadors where they go. So they're kind of being sent out from the Serple denomination as missionaries. You know, they really that's how it works. But that's because God the Father is the God of the home.
Mm-hmm.
And that is their template. Mm-hmm. That is their operating system. And, you know, I'm stoked to watch Homeschool and, you know, the amount of leadership that you can provide to these children is bearing fruit. I mean, the peace level amongst them is a hundredfold. The love that you experience from them is just growing. The true identity formation in them. Listen to Lainey talk about, you know, what things that are important in life and things that are not.
Yeah.
And or getting around other teenagers that don't have the benefit of what you're bringing. It's delightful to listen to my granddaughter go, wow, that was weird. That was, wow. Or, man, that person couldn't get off their phone the whole time we were there. They're on their phone the whole time. Wow, that was a lot of fun. That was really a meaningful relationship. Like, right.
Yeah. And it's just this, you know, removing God or not having him as the goal of your family. I think that that's part of the, you know, directing everyone back to the Father. I feel like, I don't know how many conversations I've had with Delaney as she's blossomed into a teenager and moving towards being a young adult is, you know, what is the Lord saying? Mm-hmm. You know, because I feel like I can give you my words, but they are man's words. And I know that they will not actually cause identity and breakthrough in the way that you're needing it, because that comes from heaven.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I mean, I say, we tell her all the time, we've never parented a 15-year-old. We've never done, I mean, you're the trial number one.
Practice child number one,
and,
yes.
And so the best thing I can offer you is to give you the best source and best resource and most consistent thing that I have, and that's the Father. And I think that's, again, moving our families towards that is going to help us restore our identities and our roles that we're meant to play as a family.
Yeah. And when we talk about wholeness, you know, we're talking about the whole body of Christ. We're talking about the whole government of God. We're talking about reestablishing the apostolic and prophetic on the earth and teaching our children that what the apostles are, you know, apostles are those leaders who carry an office and an anointing to show the Father everywhere they go. So they go around to churches. They go around to gatherings of leaders. They go around society, and they show who the Father is, a supernatural resource. Like when you say to Delaney, I've never done this before. Here's my best
option.
Yeah, this card will get you into most places right here. And this is the best one I've found so far. And it is because you're going to use this after you leave our home, you're going to use this access card to the Father. That's what I want to teach you to do. I don't want to be your good shepherd. I'll do a good job of shepherding you, but I want to introduce you to the good shepherd. I want you to go and follow the Father. And so when you see a societal assault against fathers, the Father, Christianity, anything that points us to God, God the Father, then we know, okay, well, what heaven is ushering in is this great awakening of the apostolic. And I think this is what we're going to experience in the years to come, starting with this year. I think we're going to see the recognition of the apostolic fathers, and the church will give permission once again for there to be people that can say, I am an apostle and I have been commissioned by Jesus to release signs and wonders and miracles to show you a supernatural resource in who God is, and not just a Bible study, and not just a home group, and not just a potluck, and not just a church service, and not just tithing, and not just, you know, missionary work. It's literally the supernatural presence of God lighting up the atmosphere like it did around Jesus. I mean, Jesus stood out like, who is this guy? Yeah. What is he doing? And it convicts the religious leaders in their limitations, because he's walking around going, I'm showing you my Father.
Yeah.
If you see me, you see my Father and his kingdom. Mm-hmm. And if you receive me like a little child, then you will get to enter into this kingdom. We need a great awakening around that reality in how we do life on this earth.
Yeah. So it sounds like we need to repent and move our hearts towards the Father if that's not happening. You know, we pray that in for the whole nation. Mm-hmm. We need an awakening where heaven starts to invade and, you know, revival hits the land and we restore all that's been lost in this season. And we need families to have courage to lead our children to their own relationship with the Father as this trusted source of identity, mm-hmm. instead of trying to be it for them.
Totally.
So I think, you know, I think it's Bill Johnson that says revival starts in the home. I've heard mom say it as well. I think we've all kind of said it in one way or another. Yeah. Revival starts with family. But I feel like if I could end with something, you know, is that chasing after this idea that revival starts in the home. And that's kind of the concept I think of whole healthy families. There is a revival happening in your home, mm-hmm. because that is where the Father's showing up and getting on all these different wonderful people that are then going out to the rest of the world and it just mirroring the Father to them.
Exactly. You know, it's even as the, you know, the story of the prodigal son, mm-hmm. you know, he goes out and he, in essence, squanders everything that he was given, but he ends up in this horrible place. And the Bible says, and he came to himself. He remembered he was a son who had a loving father. Mm-hmm. And that's the transition. I think that's where we're headed, is we just have to get, as a society, we have to get back to this place where I know I have a loving father.
Mm-hmm. Well, that is, that's a wrap for this identity of the Kylo show. We've been talking about that and whole healthy families and how they're going to save the world. And I think to encourage you to chase after bringing revival to your home and seeing the wholeness of your family come forward.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for listening. Make sure to join us next week when Danny and Brittany talk about our family mission and your role in the family. Never miss an episode by subscribing to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or watch us on our YouTube channel. And don't forget to submit your listener questions to thekyloshow.com. The Kylo Show is produced by Ali Armerding, co-produced by Ashley Beck, Anna Hill, Leah Alexander, and Sherry Silk, engineered and edited by Taylor Silk, and show promoter, me, Christian Zamora. Thank you so much for listening. We'll see you next week.
Summer. Wait, we need to finish school shopping.
We've got this. Target has $5 lunch boxes.
And now new lower prices on the kids' favorite good and gather snacks.
And we're done.
Now, where were we?
When it comes to finishing your supply list, Target has your back to school.
BTW, FYI, tap the banner ASAP to learn about Nexplanon, etanogestrel implant 68 milligrams radiopaque, or ask your HCP IRL. Visit Nexplanon.com RN. K-T-T-Y-L.
Hey, it's Michelle Beadle. That's right, the Michelle Beadle. You're welcome. You love talking about sports. I love talking about sports. You know the only thing cooler than talking about sports? Sports! And right now, all your favorite sports are on SiriusXM. I'm talking every NFL game, every game from the NBA, NHL, MLB, every NASCAR race, golf major, major conference college sports, and all the top games in the WNBA. If it gets your heart pumping, it's on SiriusXM. So start your free trial of SiriusXM today. Visit SiriusXM.com/believe.